in prayer and fasting. And I'm going to have rather abbreviated comments in my sermon this morning. Those of you who are regulars here or who might become regulars, I would encourage you as strongly as I can to pick up copies of the first two sermons in this series. It's called A New Resurrection, Part 1 and Part 2. There should be copies on the table after we're done, right, Chris? Chris says yes. And today's should be there as well. I don't know how long the series is going to go on, but for a bit. And here's what I believe is going on. I believe that the time has come when resurrection is undergoing a transformation. It will be substantive. It will be obvious. We will know it better than we have known such a thing before. We will, in our dotage, sitting around the fireplace in the woods with children and grandchildren gathered around, will say, "I remember that time in 2006 when we were at Church of the Resurrection and the Lord came." I know that's, I'm being funny, but I really believe that this is a year of extraordinary change for us.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah is right. Thank you. Hallelujah and amen is okay anytime you want. And I believe that it's going to be a time of significant growth for us in our lived out faith and for us in numbers. And I believe that a part of that growth requires that we begin to think about what it looks like when the Lord is moving through us, when His growth is underway and we participate in it. One of the first things that we have to do is just what the vestry said. We need to face ways in which we have hurt each other, ways in which we have been hurt. We need to confess them, be forgiven and healed for them. There are people in the congregation, I believe, who have been here for a long time as members, and it is now time for them to step up and become leaders in the church, for them to take a role which they perhaps never imagined was possible for them, never available to them. Maybe the gift that they maybe possibly had wasn't enough for God to use it to make them a leader in the church. And in fact, I would say there are ways in which I have failed to talk about some of the gifts in the church which are genuinely Holy Spirit gifts. There are churches, denominations, whole portions of the body of Christ that believe that some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, what are often called sign gifts, ceased to operate around 100 AD. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, the gift of praying in tongues, miracles, healing, a variety of those kinds of gifts of the Holy Spirit. There are other congregations and denominations for whom that is the primary focus, the sign gifts. And it has long been my hope that this congregation would neither reject nor focus exclusively on those gifts, but would honor and empower by permission, I mean, God is the ultimate empowerer, all of the gifts of the Spirit. And I would go further and say this, that there are no gifts, excuse me, there are no gifts which we have as individuals, which when done for the glory of God, are not gifts of the Spirit. Luther used to say, if you're a shoemaker, when you make shoes, make them for Jesus. The idea was that we would pour that gift, whatever it was, into everything that we did. But there are also some gifts in the church which Although I have mentioned them in previous sermons about gifts of the Spirit, at least a couple of them have sort of gone by quickly and without a lot of attention. And I realize now that that's a significant error on my part. And without those gifts, whatever it is that God might have intended for us, if we do not honor those gifts, if we do not allow them and encourage them, there ain't nothing going to happen here. Now, by that I don't mean God can't move anytime He chooses, anywhere He chooses, whether or not we give Him permission. I don't mean that at all. What I'm talking about is the place of our heart and whether we are cooperative with the Holy Spirit as He moves, or whether we resist, or whether we want Him to do things, but only to do the things that we want Him to do in the way that we want Him to do. And so, when we look at all of the gifts of the Spirit, here are a couple which have not got enough attention, I believe, in this congregation. I'm in 1 Corinthians 12. I'm going to start in verse 26. If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues. When was the last time you heard a sermon preached on administration? Anybody? Never. Never. And yet what this word means is to steer or to govern. How in heaven's name does a thriving congregation grow without people with gifts of organization and administration? How? They don't. I used to work at Oracle. Some of you know this. I was a big muckety-muck. I ran one of the divisions of the company worldwide. And that division developed software applications. When I took the division over, it was in desperate trouble. It was doing about $45 million a year in revenue and had angry customers and angry employees. And it was losing money like crazy. One of the things that I discovered was an extraordinary one-upmanship and one-up-womanship going on in the division. Everybody succeeded by getting ahead of everybody else. That was how your success was measured, how you were advanced in rank, how you were rewarded in your income. That was the way. And so what it meant was you might come and start as a programmer, but if you ever wanted to advance, you had to become first a team leader, and then a project manager, and then manager of several projects, and so on up to vice president. And what was rewarded there was management. Not a bad thing, but it was the only thing that was rewarded there. And so if I was a really, really, really good programmer, but not particularly good at administration, I couldn't advance. Now that's sort of upside down from the problem that we've had here, or backwards. And I realized that what had to happen was there had to be two ways in which people advanced or were honored. One was for their ability to create, to program and organize, and create applications which work together. And the other was for their abilities to organize and lead people instead of just one of those. And so we created two advancement tracks. And if you didn't have administrative gifts, you could go up on technical gifts from programmer all the way up to senior architect. And those were equivalent levels of advancement and equivalent levels of reward. But a senior architect would manage no people, might even report to a person who manages two people and who is at a completely different pay grade, because that person has administrative gifts. Well, the way that applies here, I had an epiphany maybe a week and a half ago, and I realized that in the way we honor gifts in this church, we focus only on the what I would call here the technical gifting, not the administrative gifting. We sort of got it backwards from the problem that we had there. And here's how that would work out. We have a prayer ministry in this church. I'm just using this as an example. It's true across the board in other ministries. We have a prayer ministry in this church. And that prayer ministry has proven to be a delight to people's hearts. People have been healed. The Holy Spirit has been invited and come, and lives have been transformed, both the lives of the prayers and the prayees. Who should lead such a ministry? The best prayer? The person most gifted in prayer? The person with the greatest understanding of healing prayer? The person even who could teach healing prayer? Well, maybe not. Maybe not. Those are gifts that should be used as fully as they can, just as would be true in worship, in hospitality, in the altar guild, in any of the ways in which we have ministries underway. And I realized that the error we had made and the correction we need to make going forward, if we are to take wing, if that butterfly is to emerge from the cocoon, is that we need to look for leaders of ministries who are, first of all, organizationally gifted. Organizationally gifted. Secondly, entrepreneurial. It was a bad word when I was a little kid, by the way. It meant con man when I was a kid. Did. Today, entrepreneur means someone who thinks outside of the box, thinks creatively, looks forward, sees new visions that other people haven't seen, and leads toward them. And lastly, self-starting. Someone who doesn't need to be micromanaged. Pastor George doesn't have to be on the phone Tuesday morning saying, "Hi, Tom, how is it going this week? Got any meetings coming up? Anything else planned?" "Well, no, I haven't really thought of anything." There are people who are organizationally gifted, entrepreneurial, self-starting. Those are folks that need to be leading ministries. That's what the gift of administration is. And it needs to be honored. Now, does that mean that the person who is head of the welcoming ministry is the friendliest, warmest, most inviting person that we've got in the congregation? No, it doesn't mean that. It means that the person who runs the welcoming ministry recognizes those gifts and organizes the people with those gifts to be present when newcomers come in through the door, when they sit down in a pew for the first time and don't quite understand how it is that worship happens here, when lunch comes along to invite them to lunch, to follow up 2 days later with a note saying, "We're so glad that you came and worshiped with us." Maybe even to call if they've been here a couple of times and say, "We missed you." All of those warm, caring, welcoming gifts are vitally important to that ministry. But it's often the case, isn't it, that a person that has that kind of warm, welcoming nature is about as disorganized as can be? Isn't that often true? I can tell you, I don't know if you've thought about this, I have two secretaries. Think about this. I have the church secretary, Administrator Maggie Cruiser, and Terry Brady, who's at my house 3 days a week organizing. If you ever seen me try to organize my life without secretaries and administrators, stand up, Terry. Do, Do piles accumulate everywhere that I am?
Every day.
And I don't know what to do with them. She has administrative gifts which are vital to my being able to do anything that I do. And by the way, referring to Terry or Maggie as a secretary, Maggie, stand up. She does things administratively for this church which I couldn't do if you tied me up and tortured me. I'm incapable of it. And administration is a gift of the Holy Spirit. It's not, oh, they're the wanks that can't do anything else, so, but they can organize stuff, so we'll let them do that. This is not what it's about at all. This place collapses without people who are good at organization, who are self-starting. I don't have to call Maggie to get her out of bed to get to work. She's here at 7 a.m. Sometimes my eyes aren't even open then. And she's here working. So there's a kind of leadership which we need in this church, which we've been short on. And we've been short on it at least in part because I have not given it the honor that it is due. I'll take responsibility for that. But I want to correct that going forward. I want to see folks who have that gifting. Well, I know what I was going to say. You know, we have a Secretary of Defense and a Secretary of Treasury in the country. Do you know that that term secretary in history is one of the most honored titles that anyone can have? Because the secretary to the king knows the king's secrets. That's where that term comes from. The secretary to the king knows and is trusted with the king's secrets and will not reveal them. I promise you, both Maggie and Terry are aware of enormous crises which go on in this church, and you will not hear them from them because they're secretaries. They know how to keep secrets. And they help make sure that things happen in response to those crises without blabbing about them. And so even the title of secretary is one which deserves enormous honor. And so as we move forward under the Lord's banner, we need to raise up, and the Lord will send us more, people who have these gifts of administration, who are organizationally gifted, entrepreneurial, self-starting. And because someone with a gift like that becomes head of the prayer ministry or the welcoming ministry or any other ministry doesn't mean that they're honored in some way over and above the folks who pray really good or who welcome really good. It's that we have honored that gift at the same time as we need to be honoring the gift of welcoming. These are all Holy Spirit gifts. And every one of them, without exception, needs to be honored and strengthened and encouraged because we need all of that if we are to grow in our lived out faith and if we are to grow in numbers as a congregation as we share the joy we have found, the forgiveness in Jesus Christ, with a world, I promise, is desperately in need of forgiveness. Amen.